Hello everyone and welcome to Toonami Therapy. Today on October 21st of 2021, I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here as usual to talk about anime we've been watching, some of which is on Toonami. In this case, I guess I'm not sure if I can use plural or not, because I'm not sure if the Batman movie we watched counts as anime or not. I think it was animated by, at least partially, with a Japanese studio. Well, yeah. Anyway, because this week they just showed Fena and two Batman movies. We only saw the first one because the second went really late.
Yep.
And so we're going to be talking about those. We also are going to be talking about our usual lineup of the non-Toonami shows, and we watched the first Rebuild of Evangelion movie, so we'll be discussing that. Lots of movies today.
Yep.
All right. So we'll start out with the Toonami stuff with Fena Pirate Princess Episode 11. So let's see. Basically, the British guys or whatever they were, they come in, except they are no match for the protagonist's supernatural weapon skills, so they get beaten. Meanwhile, Abel finds where Fena and Yukimaru are, which is someplace wherever they wandered off to, and he dies, and we get a very lengthy thing with him talking to Fena's dead mother, because remember, he was in love with her or something, and I don't know, I guess they just go to the afterlife or something. It was kind of confusing and overly long. Then a guy shows up and announces that I am the storyteller of your story. So, and yeah, that was a weird and confusing episode.
Yeah, it ended with that whole storyteller thing, and I was wondering if the show was going to start getting meta or something, because maybe it's like, maybe this guy just made up everything that happened in the entire show's history, and all this is just his imagination.
Yeah, who knows? This episode was just such a... There's a lot of things I feel like I want to say, but I also feel like I need to see the final episode before I get into it. Because, like, I'm saying, okay, looking at this, so what was the point of that other pirate crew when they didn't really do much of anything? Everything they did could have just been done by the guys under Abel's command. But we've got an episode left, so maybe they show up somehow and stuff happens. I don't know. It just seems to be a different show. I mean, look, I was just looking for a fun pirate adventure. I didn't need to become whatever this is.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess they should have put a big warning on it. This is not like One Piece.
Yeah, it's like if you're watching One Piece and then at the end suddenly it turns into, I don't know, I guess the last two episodes of Evangelion. Or maybe it's like watching Evangelion and then it turning into the last two episodes of Evangelion. Okay, we might have more to say about that later. But yes, this is, like I said, there's stuff I want to say, but I feel like I need to see the last episode just to see how this all works out. I don't think it probably will, but I want to at least see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So, after Fena, we then had the movie Batman Ninja. That's its name, Batman Ninja. So the premise of this one basically is that something happens that causes Batman, some of his supporting cast, and a bunch of the villains to go back in time and to Japan for some reason. Anyway, the Batman for reasons ends up being there, like after the villains have already gotten established and stuff and basically taken over parts of Japan and warring with each other. So he ends up, so he's able to, you know, find some of his allies, and basically what he has to do is, well, get everything back to normal, beat the bad guys, use the stuff to return everyone to the present time and that stuff. And he's also helped by the fact that very conveniently, there is a clan of ninjas who have been training because of a prophecy that some kind of bat person will show up to lead them. So, yeah, that's basically it. I'm not really going to go through every bit of the plot, but, yeah, it's basically that. There's, like, some fights. There's also, it also kind of turns into a mecha series towards the end. Where the villains just have these giant robots, essentially, and also a big ton of bats make essentially a Batman robot, and monkeys make a giant monkey robot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets weird. Ironically, I can kind of compare it to Fena in that in some ways this is like, you know, it starts out kind of like just a sort of, it gets weird at towards the end with all the giant stuff, but it keeps the same tone and it works. And there's also like I said to you, there's scenes here where they're like fighting on ships, and like this is more Fena than the actual Fena this week. This is more of a pirate thing than that. Yeah, on the whole, I thought it was pretty good. Did you have any specific stuff you wanted to say about it?
Yeah, I'm so disappointed that we didn't get an appearance from Ronald Reagan or any U.S. president. Seriously speaking, though, there were some good things about this. I thought there was a little bit too much focus on the Joker. I guess you had to build the Joker up as a villain, but it just felt like you got a little bit too much time. The thing I didn't like was that change in animation halfway through, and it seemed like you weren't even watching the same movie anymore, and that just was too weird for my liking. So on the whole, it was okay. It certainly wasn't as good as those other Batman and Superman ones we watched a year ago or so, but it still was pretty good.
Yeah, I looked into it, and it seems like the movie they aired after this called Batman Red Hood, that got better reviews than this one, which kind of makes it you wish maybe they had swapped them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the animation, that was definitely the thing that kind of stood out. I think they were doing it because, so that's when Batman confronts Joker and Harley Quinn after they've lost their memories and are just think they're like farmers or whatever. And I think the reason they did it that way was so that they would look different, so it wouldn't be as super obvious to the viewer, oh yeah, that's definitely the Joker. Whereas this way, because it's different animation style, you can think, oh, well, maybe it's just a guy that looks like the Joker.
Uh-huh.
It makes it a little more ambiguous, which might have been the point on that. That's the one thing I can think of. And the fact it only applies to that one scene might be the reason for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, on the whole, it's fun. There is some, like, kind of stuff that doesn't make much sense. Like, so, like, did they somehow revert the time line? Because from what we could see, they just went back in time. All this crazy stuff happened in Japan. Then they got back to the present, and everything's normal. Maybe. I'm not sure if the fact that Batman is in this like sort of like Bruce Wayne is going in that sort of samurai carriage thing in the present, like, was that supposed to show that time had changed, or was it just, oh well, that's a coincidence, he's just going like that this week or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, I know stuff in Japan wouldn't have had as big of an impact worldwide necessarily, but it's still. I don't know. I just wish there had been a quick explanation of, well, once we get back, if we get everyone back to the present, then all this won't have happened or something like that, or they would have prevented it from happening. You know, I just wish there was a quick thing about that. Mm-hmm. Okay. The last thing I mentioned is the animation. What did you think of the general animation style? Because I thought it wasn't bad, but it was kind of weird, a sort of mix of 2D and 3D. I kind of was thinking, this might have been better if it had just been a simple 2D movie.
Yeah, I agree on that. I think there was too much of the 3D stuff. I mean, at least though the normal animation was pretty good, whereas that alternate animation was just really weird. And so, yeah.
One thing to mention is that apparently the script was rewritten. There were a lot of changes when they made, this was originally like written and like animated, I think, by Japanese, and when it was dubbed into English, they apparently actually rewrote a bunch of the stuff. So this is apparently actually a different experience than if you watch it in Japanese with subtitles.
I see.
So, yeah, on the whole, one other thing I wish there had been an explanation for, even just like a quick one. It's the fact, so they went to Japan, so how are they communicating and such? Like there should be a language barrier here. I don't think all the characters know Japanese. Nor were the people know English. And I know that's, again, for convenience's sake, you want everyone to say the same thing. But again, that's something I was thinking, maybe you could have explained it, because they draw attention to that, in fact. Like, there's a part where they get the letter from Gorilla Grodd, and he said, it's in English. I'm thinking, you're drawing attention to this. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, decent. Not necessarily that much to say about this. I would think if you're a Batman fan, you'd probably enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's all of that things. Now we will get done with all of that, and we will move on to the non-Toonami stuff. We'll get to Evangelion at the end.
Right.
First, we've got Fate Zero Episode 9. So, Episode 9. So, the guy, Kaneth, Lancer's master... Well, he's in really bad shape because he basically got nearly killed, so he can't even do magic anymore. So his wife, who I didn't even know was his wife until they mentioned that this episode, basically forces him to make her the master. And Lancer isn't interested at first, but he's like, well, okay, if you promise it, you're doing it to try to help Kaneth out, then I'll do it. Meanwhile, Ryder and Waver, that's his name, find Assassin's hideout. No, not Assassin's, I'm Caster's. But Caster's not there. There's this part, they find, and they see, you know, all the dead bodies at Caster, and I don't know what the guy's master's name is. The crazy bad guy have killed, which freaks Waver out, but they just kind of leave, especially after they get attacked by one of the assassins, and discovering, oh, there is still an assassin out there, because there's like multiple ones.
I'm a little confused. Wasn't there a part where like Saber and Iris Buell were talking about having to go and do something.
Oh yeah, there was the thing with Saber and Iris Field. What about did you have a question about it or?
No, I was just trying to make sure we watched the same episode.
Yeah, there was something about that. I can't remember exactly what it was. Wasn't it Saber wanted to fight Lancer, but
yeah, that's it.
But then, oh, what's his name? I can like remember. There's like only four. I can remember the names of, not counting the servants, which are pretty easy. There's like three people whose names I can remember. There's Iris Veal. There's
Saber.
No. Well, Saber's one of the servants, so I wasn't counting. One of the servants. Like, you know, yeah. Saber, Ryder, Lancer, all those are easy. So we've got Iris Veal. We've got Waver, who I only remembered this episode, and mostly just because it sounds like Ryder. And then I guess there's Kaneth, which I now remember, but I think he might not be that important going on, so. And that's it. Everyone else is just like, oh, it's that assassin guy. Oh, it's that like it's that crazy murder guy. It's all like that. Okay.
I just wanted to say it was a good episode. If I didn't get that in there, so yeah.
Yeah, Ryder is fun. He's become my favorite character, basically. He's really funny. I'm glad that we got to see Waver get some show some real intelligence by tracking down Caster's place. Although I'm thinking, Ryder, if you're trying to tell Waver, don't go out because, you know, there's a lot of dead bodies and corpses and that will freak you out. Maybe you should tell him that's the reason instead of being needlessly cryptic. In which case, of course he goes out, sees all the corpses, and freaks out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it was still good. Yeah. This is Fate Zero. It's become it was slow at first, but it has become pretty consistently good. Not as good as I think some of the previous ones, but still, you know, fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So 86 episode 5. So this episode, so last time I was saying, all right, look, you gotta give me like a plot, some kind of like goal for the series in the next episode. Well, they kind of did give that, thankfully. Basically, after we get some flashback stuff about how Lena, when she was young, got rescued by the brother of Shin, yeah, that's his name. I always think of him as Undertaker, so I'm trying to remember his actual name. This is a problem. You give me these names at the start, and then it's like, okay, here's their real names. Now you got to remember them. Which means I have to remember three names. I have to remember their first actual name, their second actual name, and their code name. Anyway, so we get that. The big thing, though, is when they talk about what's going to happen, because Lena's all like, well, you know, the robots, they'll shut down in 2 weeks and everything will be great. But then he's saying, well, because I almost died this one time, I can read the powers, I can sense dead or something. Or, oh yeah, we do find out that's why the previous handlers all like kind of went crazy, because that ability has sort of affects them if they're in the communication with him. That's why it hits Lena in this episode, which is why she, you know, kind of that part where she kind of freaks out. Anyway, he's saying, well, they're actually taking like minds or something of people who die and making new stuff. And I don't know this. Look, it was a little confusing on the specifics, but the point is that the enemy force is basically reproducing itself and is essentially a zombie horde.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have, so no, it's not going to be over in just 2 years. So she's like, okay, well, we'll just end the whole war in 1 year somehow, because that way it will be when your enlistment's over and we'll be able to save everyone, because otherwise it could be a threat to everyone. And so, yeah, we kind of have a goal, more of a goal now. I wish it had been maybe a little more specific, but yeah, it satisfied that for me at least.
What is this whole thing about, I don't want to die, and this voice, I don't want to die? Like, I was totally confused by that.
Okay, so at the end of the third episode, one of the characters dies, in the battle. And she says, I don't want to die, just before she dies. You could pick better last words than that, I think. But, and that's the sound that keeps getting repeat, her line saying that. I'm a little confused as to why. I'm not sure if it's keeps coming to Lena's mind because she feels guilty about it, or if it has something to do with what Shin was saying about how, because he like basically practically died at one point but came back, which gives him some sort of extra intuition with the dead or something. Maybe that's what's causing that to do it. It was a little confusing in regards to that, but that's where that phrase was from, and it's because it's somehow echoing because of that.
Okay, I'll try to figure that out.
Yeah, so, I thought it was a decent episode. My reactions to it is so weird, because I keep, looking at the episodes and say, well, that was decent, could have been better, not necessarily that much happened, but each time it always makes me interested to see what happens next.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's how you feel, but...
My only problem is that I'm just very confused as to what, she's always talking to these people, okay? I'm just so confused. How is she talking to them? And why does she like them so much? And how does no one else figure out that she's communicating with them?
Okay, so that's something I actually get. So she's able to communicate with them. So the way it works is, of course, all the 86 people are out fighting against the enemies, and then they have what are called the handlers, the people who are commanding them, but they're, all in the military and basically behind a safe place, but they're still commanding them. So in order to do that from that distance, they have some sort of thing. They call it the pararade, I think. That's you notice those things that you see on people's ears. That's what it is. It allows them to communicate. It's basically kind of a phone that's implanted next to your ear that allows you to communicate with each other from a distance.
Okay.
So that's how she's doing that. And in regards to communicating with them, well, she can just, I guess the handlers can just do that. The implication is that she does it a lot more than the others, who presumably are just, they don't really care that much about the 86. They just, are the commanders that are we need to, they just want to beat the enemies, but don't really care about the 86. So, but she actually does care. So, there's more communication there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's that. Did you have anything else that I might be able to help with?
Yeah. There's basically, why does she sympathize with them so much, whereas, no one else does?
Okay. Because that makes it more convenient for the plot. Okay, having the main character be the really nice one and everyone else not be so much, makes better drama. The in-universe explanation specifically is that this was what the flashback was about, but I guess they might not have explained it that well. So when she was young, her father, who did not like the way they were the way the 86 were being treated, brought her over to like one of the places where they were, you know, the idea of, hey, I'll show my daughter how bad things are, so she'll, you know, think of them better than everyone else. Except then a battle erupted, her father got killed, and she, you know, got in danger also. But then one of them, who it turns out is the brother of Shin, because what are the odds? ended up saving her. So all of that obviously left a really big impression on her. So that's like the reason, you know, she has such a higher degree of caring for them than all the other people who, you know, have never been there.
Well, okay, now that makes a lot more sense. All right. I'll try to keep these things in mind whenever I'm watching. Okay. Sometimes I can get confused about these things. That's why you're here, is to help me not be so confused. So, it wasn't a bad episode at all. It was pretty good. I just have been a little confused, and
So that's that. One interesting thing, I guess it has nothing to do with this, but apparently there's actually a spin-off manga for this series, a high school alternate universe spin-off manga for this series, because every serious anime, it seems, gets that.
Is it called 85?
No, it's called 86 Operation High School.
Mm.
I haven't read it, really, but yeah, there's like, it's weird, some of the ones that get it. Remember, there was an Attack on Titan Junior High series that reframes the whole characters as being in junior high.
Yeah, that's the one I automatically think of when I hear that.
It's actually really funny. It just exaggerates all the characters to hilarious degrees. I like one of my favorite jokes is a part where they're like in like some sort of dodgeball match, except Mikasa is completely useless because Eren isn't around. Like, someone says all her stats drop by 50% if she's not with Eren. Yeah, maybe we could watch that sometime. It's not very long, and the episodes are like a quarter of an hour or so. Mm-hmm. Like Isekai Quartet. Anyway, so we've got that. Then we bring us to a actual high school series. And I wrote down the names so I can get it right. There's And You Thought There Is Never a Girl Online, Episode 1.
Yeah, okay, so basically we start off with the classic Sword Art Online thing where everyone is talking to each other in their guild or whatever it's called, and this one guy, he has this girl who is like really close to her. I'm not sure what that sound is, by the way, but there's a sound in the background. Anyway, sounds like an airplane or something.
Hmm.
So basically, this boy, he's at school, and whenever he's at, like, in normal class, he's got this one girl who kind of makes fun of him and stuff. And then they go back to that guild where they're talking to each other, and he says that he'll never trust any girl in a video game because the one time he did, he ended up with, and if you remember, Hunter, I think her name was Pito. That was exactly who that character pretty much was, who he found, and he wanted to fall in love with her, and she said she was a guy in real life. So after that, he didn't trust that any girls are actually online. So then one of them decides that, okay, let's meet up in person sometime. And what happens is that when they meet up in person, it's him and it's all girls, including that girl who's making fun of him. So I guess they call him a premium player. I guess that means like he's one of these people who pays the win. And then this girl, Akko, who thinks she's not only his wife in the game, but also in real life, too, because she kind of reminds me a lot of Albedo from Overlord. That's kind of where I pigeonholed her whenever I started watching this episode. There was lots of humorous things. And I think the best part really was whenever he ran into, I just call the person Pito, because she was acting very cat-like and talking with like a cat whenever, and saying that he was a guy. She was a guy in real life. But yeah, I did enjoy the first episode.
Yeah, a few. Although it is a little weird that they didn't, when they decide to meet up, they don't give their names beforehand, at which point you could have said, oh, wow, hey, it's that girl I know in real life. But they don't. I'm not sure he doesn't seem particularly surprised that the people who are male in the game are girls in real life, though. So which we didn't know about beforehand. So I think we're supposed to assume they must have mentioned that and we just didn't hear it. Or maybe they didn't. I forgot about it. But yeah, they need to all be girls so you can have harem antics.
Right.
Yeah, it was a little interesting. I mean, not good or bad, really, just interesting that they establish, oh, you see all, like, you know, them playing in the game, but that's not what the game is actually like. The game is actually more low-tech. All this extra stuff we're seeing is just, you know, I guess, like, their imaginations or something.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing that confused me. Like, are they really... Is any of this stuff really happening, or are they just imagining it?
I think it's supposed to be like one of those. I don't know if you've ever. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, like I can't think of any examples of this offhand, but I know I've seen cases where on a show. Characters will be playing like some sort of role-playing game, like, you know, like something like Dungeons and Dragons, and it'll like be cutting between them, you know, just sitting there and playing it, and their characters in like the world that they're playing in. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, dang, I'm not sure. Not sure if I can think of any examples, but the implication we're supposed to get at any rate is that the stuff we're seeing from the more detailed stuff is, no, this isn't what the game really looks like. It's just what they think of the game as, I guess.
I see. Yeah.
So yeah, it's an okay, start, I guess. Although I have to also say, well, not much happened, but I have no idea what this series is really going to be like. Maybe it'll just be a slice of life series with some like video games in it. So like, in which case, well, you can't complain about not much happening. I mean, well, what are you going to do? Like, it's the kind of show where not much happens.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, one weird thing I noticed is that, and you, I don't know if this was, maybe it was just the way it was written, I think, on the website, but I noticed that outside of the first word, and you thought there was never a girl online. None of them were capitalized, but on other places it does say have them capitalized. I don't know if that was just whatever. I don't know where I was going with that. Anyway, so yeah, that's our first episode. I guess we'll see where it goes from there. Yeah, the genre, according to Wikipedia, is romantic comedy. So yeah, we'll see how it ends up going, how much attention we actually get to the games and such. Mm-hmm. Okay. One last thing. There's a part where he gets upset about something. I can't even remember what. And he's like hitting the keyboard and the keys are coming off. And I'm thinking, how hard do you have to hit a keyboard? Or how shoddily constructed does it have to be for that to happen?
And that was a really funny scene. And the escape button came off.
What would have been a great joke is if he does that and then you see a key fly off and it just says any key on it.
Or how about if because he lost the escape key, now he can't quit the game.
That might be, yeah. That's what happened in Sword Art Online. He just made the all their keyboards blow up the escape key. That's how they got stuck in it.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that's basically that. Okay. Time for what we did. We're on to Evangelion, Rebuild of Evangelion 1.11, which is called, I can't remember, was this You Cannot Advance or was this You Cannot Redo? Neither one. It's You Are Not Alone, except not is in parentheses for some reason.
Hmm.
Okay. Do you want to summarize it?
I was hoping you would.
Oh, okay. Okay. In that case, so this is the we watched the first movie in the Rebuild of Evangelion series, which is to let people know. So, in the off chance you somehow don't know, Neon Genesis Evangelion was a 26 episode anime series that aired. These movies, there's four of them, are a retelling of it, essentially, but it, and such. So, like, you know, the same characters, but, and the same basic plot, but, you know, it'll go in different ways. Anyway, so basically, this episode is essentially, well, it's, the first six episodes of the show. Like, that's it. I mean, there's very little that is different from the first six episodes. This is basically, remember how Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood went through the opening stuff really quickly? Because it was basically doing the same events, but they thought, well, a lot of people saw the original anime. We don't want to just redo all that, so let's go through it faster. So that, you know, the new people can still get what's going on, but all people who are already fans won't just be wading through the whole thing, that whole thing again. That's basically this. It just goes through the first six episodes, except it does it faster.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. There's these giant monsters called angels that are attacking, and they're trying to fight them off using the Avas, their own giant robots. And Shinji Kai, our main character, who initially doesn't want to get into the robot.
Mm-hmm.
That joke. Like, kind of gets, has to go along with it because he's, I don't, does this explain why only he and Rei can, like, pilot the robots? the Avas. Do they explain that at any point?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
In the movie? Okay.
Not in this movie, but
that's what I meant. In the movie, the TV series explains. Did this movie ever?
Not yet.
Okay, because that seems a little weird because it's so important Shinji do it, and I'm thinking you could have explained why. So, yeah, like I said, it's just the first three of the angel fights. The original series was, in terms of the angels themselves, kind of just monster of the week. You know, there's an angel, they have to figure out how to beat it, then they beat it. But yeah, like, this is just the first six episodes of the show being compressed into a movie. I don't know. Did you? It's weird because I don't feel like I have that many thoughts on the movie itself. But it made me have a lot of thoughts on the general franchise. So, it reminded me of a lot of stuff. But so I don't know. Did you have any thoughts on the movie you wanted to say? I should mention that we actually ended up watching different dubs of this because we didn't know they were different. You watched one on Amazon and I watched the original Funimation one.
Yeah. So we kind of got different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like even though I got the newer version, I got the raw end of the deal because they seemed to cut out some of the funny things to it. And I don't know. I don't know if that was like, I don't know why they did it, but they seem to take out certain things that everyone remembered and kind of replace them with similar things. For a movie that's trying to squeeze in six episodes, it didn't do half bad of a job of it. But at the same time, it felt like it was really rushing Shinji's character development.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the great things about the show is that the show would really immerse you into these characters and get you feeling just as depressed as they are. And I'm not even joking about that. I'm being kind of serious because whenever I watched Evangelion for the first time, like I was like where Shinji was mentally. So whenever I watched it, it was so relatable. And that's why I liked it so much. And that was one of the very good things about having this happen through multiple episodes, whereas now you got to squeeze, you know, Shinji Ikari not wanting to go and then running away and then coming back and all that. You got to squeeze that all in really quickly because you have a time constraint. So, I feel like that might be the biggest weakness of the movies is the time restriction.
Yeah, it feels like it kind of makes me wonder, like, maybe even. So it's tricky because I don't want because if I say, well, watch the episodes of the show, well, There is some extra stuff here. There's some points mentioned. There's less. Some of the things are less cryptic. Like it just Misato in this one straight up tells Shinji, "Oh, the angels are trying to get to Lilith, which is you know the angel we have you know captured down here. And if they do, then that'll cause really bad stuff to happen. So we have to you know fight them off." And that I don't think was stated until quite a bit later in the original series. So you do need, I assume, to watch this in order to understand the rest of the movies, but it feels like you'd still be better off watching the episodes. It's confusing. I mean, it might be best, like, watch the episodes, then watch this, but then you'll just be seeing it twice. So
yeah,
it's not like Dragon Ball Super, where I can just say, look, don't bother watching the first two arcs of the TV series. Just watch the movies. The arcs on the TV show are just worse paced, worse animated versions of the movies. I just am suddenly thinking, what's it like to have that job to, you know, have to write the stuff and know that your job is to take a movie and pad it out? Like, that is literally your job, to pad it out. Yeah, let's see. So there's that. And yeah, there's some stuff that's teased earlier. There's some stuff with Kaworu. You know, the character who shows up in exactly one episode of the original series, but like gets all these attentions in all the spinoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, he shows up at the end to kind of like try to build some suspense going into the next movie, which I thought was okay. The key to the whole series is what's going to happen when Asuka shows up, because I'm sure you were thinking the whole time, when's Asuka going to show up? And she never did. So we know that once she shows up, then the show's going to really get intense. But we also know that things aren't the same as they are in the original series. In particular, there's an entirely new pilot. Not sure much about her, but she will be showing up as well. And yeah, that is what is going on with Evangelion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've only seen the first two of these movies, and I saw the second one quite a while ago. The second one deviates more from the show. There's still some stuff from the show there, although some of the stuff that's shared is kind of done differently. Like, there's something that, if I recall correctly, there's something that happens to one character in the show, but it happens to a different character in the movie. In the next one. If I remember correctly, I could be wrong. Like this thing that with this one character, it happens with Asuka instead, I think. So I wanted to at least identify something so people would know what I'm talking about. Okay, this isn't a spoiler, but to give enough information so someone who's spoiled knows.
Okay.
So that's in the next one. And then after that, in the third and fourth, it's my understanding, it just goes off in a completely new story, essentially.
Yeah.
So there's that. Let's see. Was there... I feel, unfortunately, I know we've been talking about, but I'm just not sure how much necessarily to say, because I feel like what I would say is mostly just what are things that are different here from the show, because so much of it is basically the same thing.
So basically I think we'll start having our thoughts next week once we've seen the second one, because once we've seen that, then it's going to be like, oh, that didn't happen, you know? So, we'll have more thoughts then.
Yeah. Although even, though we did watch different dubs, at least some of the voices were the same. The dub history of these is weird. So first Funimation dubbed it, and they got back the main characters, most of the original cast from the TV show dubbed. So, like, they had the original voices of Misato, Asuka, although she doesn't show up till the next movie, and Shinji. So that's what I was watching. In they did have someone else play Rei, though, and then.
Yeah.
And then they Netflix had one which had a completely different cast, and I don't really know about it. But I just know that people complain about the next Netflix ones.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. Then Amazon got it, and then they decided to make a new dub. But this, but they did keep the originals, including Rei. They have the same person voice Rei as in the original TV dub, while keeping the other ones. But, you know, it's still new recording, so I assume they, like, give their lines a bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, at least in terms of those voices, it would be about the same. And for Rei, it probably doesn't matter that much because she barely talks at all in this movie. Yeah. But I guess it will be interesting to see how things go. I hope it can manage a better, because while I like the show, there I feel like it really did have some problems as it went along. I just feel like it was always kind of dark, but there's like in the first half there's like more comic relief and gags and stuff, and then like it just goes strongly dark as it goes along afterwards. And I'm watching this and I'm like, oh yeah, this was some of like the fun gags and stuff, like when Shinji meets the Penguin and comes out of a bathroom and he's like that, like sort of gag thing. And I'm like, okay, I hope even if it takes a more dark turn, it won't just go as like almost like grim dark as like the show ended up going.
Yeah.
And of course also the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I just want an ending I consider satisfying, because the last two episodes of Evangelion weren't that satisfying. Although I did always find the high school AU thing you saw, which a video game was based on, and then a manga was based on that video game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Neon Genesis Evangelion Angelic Days. It's no longer in print, but, you know, you can still find the stuff. I read it. It was okay.
I think I have the first volume of that somewhere.
Okay. Yeah. It's weird because it takes place in high school alternate universe. Although it does... So it's obviously much less dark. It's more kind of like high school, hey, romance comedy stuff. Although they do actually bring in the angels, but like it's almost treated more. It's not as important, and you know, it's much less like dark and stuff in regards to that. So yeah, there's that. Right. So we'll see that. This one has its ending. We'll see how it ends up. Let's see. Was there anything else I wanted to mention here? Yeah, that was... that's kind of it. They definitely did, given that this is a... given that it's a movie and they could get away with more... stuff. They certainly, they didn't really shy away from the, as much from the, of stuff when, you know, you happen to see Rei whenever she's naked.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was a little, yeah. But it was only a short thing, so whatever. Yeah. Also, I wanted to mention this. Because by complete random coincidence, this podcast I listened to, which didn't even have anything to do with Evangelion, someone just made a brief reference to the last two episodes of Evangelion, the anime, and they said described it as the character. They said it's basically characters book clubbing about the book they're in.
Hmm.
And I was like, huh, that's one way to put it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've been kind of babbling, despite the fact that I said I didn't know if we could get that much out of this. I've been babbling a lot. So, oh, one other thing I wanted to ask, because maybe they mentioned it, because I am so bad at remembering these things. So the Evangelion needs to be connected to to the thing, to make it so that it doesn't run out of power. If it becomes disconnected, you know, like by having to move too far or whatever, then it like basically has a power of only like, I don't know, like a few minutes left or something. And that was the focus of the second angel fight, because you know, Misato is telling Shinji, oh, you need to retreat because you don't have time. He's like, eh. And Shinji's like, hey, you forget that this that I haven't gotten I haven't gotten as depressed as I will later on. I'm still a shonen hero right now. Time to just go and fight. Which ends up working, but just when he just runs out of time. So did they like explain why that was the case, or did I miss it?
Not sure.
Okay. All right. So that's all of that. Oh, one last final thing. I'm sorry but I wanted to mention this. It was a little, in terms of you were saying since while the main characters were the same voice, other characters, had different ones. And, you mentioned, I think how, what were their names? The two like classmates of Shinji's,
Yeah.
You told me that they sounded kind of weird or something.
Really weird, like way off. Okay. They didn't sound like kids at all. They sounded like, you know, 30 or 40 something adults, and it just sounded not right at all.
Okay. The reason I mention that is just because I remember one of them. I can't remember his name. The one with the glasses that's got the that like, you know, was trying to like get film or whatever of it, because.
Kensuke,
yeah, because he has the exact same voice as Kota from Baka and Tess did. Like, not just like the same voice actor, he has the exact same voice. And I'm thinking, oh well, I guess they just did that because they're both characters who are trying to get pictures of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, very different things, but they're going after, but. Like Kota was trying to just get pictures of girls, whereas this one is like, let's get pictures of Ava's. So, yeah. Okay, so I need to cut myself off now, because I know I'll just keep doing this forever and talking. Let's see. Okay, so are you done with it also?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, we'll be back next week then to talk about the next movie. Mm-hmm. All right. We didn't really have enough. Well, we only watched four episodes. Or do you want us to try to include Evangelion and Batman into the rankings?
No, let's just rank the three anime we watched.
Well, we watched four.
We did?
We watched, we saw Fate Zero, 86, and You Thought There Was Never a Girl Online, and Fena. So, if you rank three, you're essentially ranking all four, though.
Okay, yeah, let's, for me, Fena is last place. So, I go with 86 in third, Fate Zero in second, and the So With a Really Long Name.
I agree with you with Fena, but the other ones for third, it's And You Thought There Was Never a Girl Online. Second is 86. First is Fate Zero. Is there like a shortened version of And You Thought There's Never a Girl Online? Like some shortened version of it, like, I feel like there has to be something. Oh, now that I'm looking at the original Japanese title, was You Thought Your Online Game Wife Wasn't a Girl? Yeah, sometimes they change the goofy titles into other goofy titles.
Mm-hmm.
I think the English one is a little better, but yeah. Okay, yeah, so that's those. News. They have finally announced when they're going to start Season 3 of Kaguya-sama. It will air starting in April.
Okay.
So, while I think it was a show I enjoyed more than you did, I think we both enjoyed it, so we'll probably want to check it out at some point.
Uh-huh.
Probably, you know, after it gets dubbed and such, and we don't know when that will be, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else to say?
No, not really.
All right. So next week we'll be back with the conclusion of Fena Pirate Princess, the next Evangelion movie. Then, you know, the other three shows we're watching. They're going to be airing some Batman movies again. We won't be covering them because they're airing. It's like Batman Halloween Part 1, Batman Halloween Part 2. So that would mean it's okay to just watch one, but after that it gets too late, and I don't want to cut out of just the first one and then, you know, if we're not going to get the full story. So we're currently planning to just watch Fena, and that's it.
Yep.
All right. So with all that, we'll see you next week.
Bye, Nee.